word came forth about not, thank you, Troy, about not being fearful, you know, about your work or the people around you or where you are because God's placed you there. Well, God's placed us here for a reason. And we don't need to be fearful of that. When challenges or when opportunities come to us, we don't need to be fearful of that. We need to take advantage of them, and people need to see the love of Jesus Christ in us. And my prayer is that what I say this morning will encourage you and propel you forth in you being an example and staying an example for people to see the love of Jesus Christ in you. You know, just when Pastor Jimmy asked me to preach this Sunday and fill in for him, and to me that's always some pretty big shoes to fill because I consider Pastor Jimmy a pretty awesome preacher. And I mean, I'm amazed at how just Sunday after Sunday he gets up there and preaches like he does, and he is an excellent preacher. And I was thinking, man, I am putting in some long hours this time of year. I leave the house at, you know, it's usually sometime after 5, and then sometimes it's 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 o'clock when I get home. And, yeah, my first thought was, Pastor Jimmy, I don't know if I got time for that. That is the first thought that goes through my mind. But I knew that wasn't the answer I need to give Pastor Jimmy. I knew it wasn't. And so I told him, I said, Pastor Jimmy, I'd be glad to. And I consider it an honor to be able to fill in for Pastor Jimmy. And so this week, I do have time at work. That's the flip side of my long hours. I do have some time at work just to sit and pray and think. I spend a lot of time in a truck. And sometimes I'm sitting in a field in a truck, waiting on a sprayer to come fill up or a fertilizer spreader to come fill up with fertilizer. So I have time to sit and pray and read and do things. And just as I was meditating and just thinking about this Sunday, you know, Pastor Jimmy, he started a series last week called Two Gospels. And I was just meditating on that. And I know I'm not going to hit it from the same angle as Pastor Jimmy is, but I was thinking about, you know, there are two gospels that come forth in the world. When the gospel of Jesus Christ goes forth, when the word of God goes forth, there is always a gospel coming forth that will contradict the word of God. And you can see that in the world today. It doesn't matter what the word of God, what part of the word of God goes forth, the devil spews forth something that will contradict it. And saying that that's not right, that that's not the way to go, that that's not going to work for you, that it's not going to benefit you at all, and encourages us to give up. And the scripture that Pastor Jimmy started with last week was in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. And this is Paul speaking to the church of Galatia. And it says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. I mean, Paul was saying here, I marvel that you're turning away. I think after all that Paul had poured into the Christian church and how he had tried to instruct them and to keep them going the right way, he's marveled that they are so easily turning away from the truth. It's like, how do you do that? I don't understand it. I don't get it. I'm marveled that you would even consider turning away from the truth. I had a professor in college a few years ago. I was taking a graduate course, and I really enjoyed this professor. And one phrase that he would share with us was, that just boggles my mind. And this was an extremely intelligent man. He was teaching a statistics course. And, you know, he would explain things to us and go through examples on the board of how this works. And then he would give us opportunity to practice what he's shown us. And then some of the mistakes that we would do or the questions that we would have, he'd go, now this just boggles my mind. And he wasn't trying to be ugly, but I think it boggled his mind after he spent so much time explaining it and showing us what to do. It boggles my mind that you could even do that. Well, I think that's what Paul's going through here. It boggled his mind that these Christians would even consider turning away from the truth of the Word of God. And you see that happening still today, that Christians are so easily turned away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage myself, and I want to encourage you all to not turn away. But he goes on in Galatians chapter verse 7. He says, you turn away to a different gospel, which is not another. I think there is one that says, but it's really no gospel at all. You're turning away to something, it's really not even a gospel at all. You're just turning to it. And that's the truth. And then he says, but my arms just about aren't long enough. It says, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And so, there is another gospel that comes forth. And Paul realized this. And that's why he was encouraging the church, so strongly encouraging the church to stay the course and keep the faith, to adhere to the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that you don't get swept away, so that you don't get deceived and turn away from the true Word of God. Hallelujah. It says, if you look in 1 Timothy 4, 1-3, and some of these books right here, like Timothy and Thessalonians and Galatians, I was really, there's some of these are some of my favorite books to read. And just the encouragement that Paul gives not only to the church, but then even to Timothy. And how that Timothy was like a son to him. It even mentions that. It's like, Timothy, my son. I mean, Paul looked at Timothy like a son. And Timothy was a young preacher. And Paul was, at this point, was not able to be with him. He was actually in prison, but he was writing to Timothy. And he was in prison for the gospel's sake. It says in 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3. It says, and this is a warning that he gives Timothy. He says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with the hot iron, forbidden to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. He's telling him that there's some that are going to depart from the faith. And he's encouraging him. He does not want to see Timothy depart from the faith. And then it says in 2 Timothy 4, 3, it says, well, let me back up in 4, 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. Paul is doing all he knows to do right here, I believe, to encourage Timothy to stick with it. And how many, I mean, you can just see this through the world. where people, they hear what they want to hear. They have itching ears. They hear what they want to hear. If it's not what they want to hear, then they're not going to hear it. And we're warned here for us to not even have itching ears. That easily creeps into the church, that even Christians want to hear the gospel that they want to hear. Whatever sort of is easy, whatever sort of satisfies the flesh, that's what they want to hear. And we don't want to be like that. Because I tell you what, when we have an ear to just hear what we want to hear, then that opens the door to a great deception, and we're deceived, and we can fall away from the truth. I want to give you three reasons why people grow cold in their love for the things of God, and they don't stick with the things of God. These are probably not the only three, but these are three that I'm going to share with you. And number one is people become deceived. They become deceived. And the devil is a deceiver. I mean, that's just a fact. That's part of his job, is to deceive people. You know, the Bible says in John 10:10, it says that I have come to give you life. But it is the devil that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And it even also says in the book of John that he is a liar. That when he lies, that he is not speaking the truth. He's speaking his native language. Just like people in Mexico, their native language is Spanish. Just like, in France, maybe their native language is a French language. English. Here in America, maybe that's not as much the case as it used to be, but anyway, lying is his native language. And so people are deceived, and they turn away from the things of God. A second way is people become disinterested in the things of God. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. And then number three, people grow weary. Just they grow weary in well-doing. Even Paul encourages the church, do not grow weary in well-doing. And that happens to a lot of people. You just get tired and you give up. Okay? And you give up on the things of God. But I want to share with you the three things to keep you from doing that, to keep you from being deceived, to keep you from becoming disinterested in the things of God or growing weary. And the first one is to stay focused. And I admit, sometimes that's easier said than done, and especially in today's world. You know, there's so many things in the world that cry out for your focus, for your attention. I mean, everywhere you go, something's wanting your attention. You know, when it's been a while since I've been in the mall, but when you go in the mall and you just walk down the mall and all the displays in the stores and everything, I mean, it's just like to grab your attention. That's what they're there for, to grab your attention. And it's like that all throughout the world. Things just are there to grab your attention. And we have to watch out that our attention, it's not that you can't give attention to other things, but it is something we have to guard against, that we do not give the attention to God that we need to be giving him. Because if we give so much attention to the other things, then our attention to God is going to lessen. And I heard Kenneth Copeland say one time, it says, whatever you give your attention to, that is what your desire will follow. And I have seen this in my life. Desire does not precede attention. You know, you can't just say, well, I'm going to desire the things of God and then just never give attention to him. It doesn't work. It doesn't work for me like that at all. If you want to desire the things of God, you got to give attention to God. You got to give attention to the things of God. You got to focus on the things of God. With work, I work with Southern States in Franklin, and we're really with the custom, it's basically custom farm work that we do for people. We spray crops, we spread fertilizer, we do things like that. And we are spread out over a pretty large area. And we travel quite a bit. It's not just in Simpson County, South Warren, and North Robertson and Sumner County in Tennessee that we go to. I mean, we travel quite a distance. And some of the ground that we operate on is really good farmland. It's easy to run on. And some of it is very difficult to run around on and operate machinery on. It's in some hills and hollers. The fields are small. They're odd shaped. And it's just difficult to get anything done. I mean, you get a 5-acre field done, then you got to go to a 10-acre field. And then you got to, you know, fold up and go to another 5-acre field. And it's hard to get much done when the fields are like that. But then some of the ground that we operate, you know, it's a 100-acre field here, a 50 here, a 100 here. And getting in and out of the fields is very easy. And some of the guys, there's the attitude, well, I don't want to go down there in North Sumner County where all those fields, it's 5 here and 2 there, and it's hard to get in and out. I want to run in these good fields. And I'm like that because I grew up in West Simpson, and the ground that we used to farm, it's easy to farm. And it's a whole different world when you get down in parts of Tennessee. And so I'm driving the water truck, and I'm going to some of these good fields, and I enjoy running on that kind of land and those kind of fields. But this week, I've been going down into North Sumner and North Robertson. I even was across Old Hickory Lake this week with the truck, and we were spreading fertilizer and spraying. I was down by Cherokee Steakhouse in Wilson County, right the other side of Old Hickory Lake. That's a pretty good little haul when you're talking about driving machinery down the road. And, you know, when I've been going down there for probably over a week, and when I first started going there, I was like, golly, we got to go down there. I'd much rather be up in Simpson County somewhere or South Warren County. You know, it's just so much easier. You get so much more done. But I want to tell you something. I started driving the truck down into North Sumner and into some of those areas. I found something started happening. It's like I almost started enjoying it. The more I did it, the more I started liking it. Well, this isn't so bad after all. You know, I'm seeing country down here I didn't know existed. Well, I'm sort of enjoying driving the truck down here. And there's a reason for that. It's because I started giving my attention to doing that. And a desire for that started following. And I'd look back over the week and I thought, man, I'll do it next week if they ask me to go down there. That's fine. I don't mind it all that much. But now I will say, if I get back up into a week or two of running in Simpson County and Warren County, and I start liking that, well, then I may look back at the previous week and go, how did I even run down there in that other country, you know? But that is because my attention is going here for a while, then it's here for a while, and so my desire goes that way. And it is the same thing with the things of God. It's the same thing. You know, if we don't give our attention to the things of God, we will not have a desire for the things of God. And Paul was even encouraging Timothy here. He's telling him to continue in sound doctrine, to continue in the things of God, to continue in stirring up the gift that is placed on the inside of you. Because he knew that if he continued in that, he would save not only others, but he would save himself. In fact, he tells him that. If we continue in the things of God, we will not only save other people, we'll save ourselves. But we got to give attention to the things of God. You look in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. And it says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes, but keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Give attention to the Word of God, to the things of God. Hallelujah. If you look back in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and then verse 13 and 14, and Paul is telling Timothy, he says, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Adhere, hold fast the pattern of sound words. And you know what? I believe when it says a pattern right there, that Paul, he lived his life in such a way to be a pattern to Timothy. To where Timothy and even the churches that he preached to could look at him and say, he could say, follow me as I follow Christ. He lived his way in such as that. And, you know, I even think back about a pattern. It's like when I was in high school and college, I was on some judging, some livestock judging teams. And, you know, we judge classes of cattle or horses or swine or sheep. And when we went into a contest to judge a class, there are usually four animals in a class. Why, we had studied and looked at so many cattle, and then even me growing up around cattle, I had an idea in my mind of what the ideal beef animal should look like. I had a pattern in my mind of what it should look like. So when I looked at that class of four beef animals, I would pick out the animal that was as close to that pattern in my mind as I could get. And then I'd pick out the second one, and then the third one, and then the fourth one, and that's how I would place them, one, two, three, four. But I had that ideal animal in my mind. Now, maybe I didn't see an ideal animal, but I'd pick out the one that was closest to it as I could. Well, I tell you what, Paul, I mean, he was telling him, hold fast the pattern of sound doctrine. And I believe that Paul, I mean, he was presenting in every way that he knew how, a ideal example or a good pattern for Timothy to follow, so that Timothy could look at him and say, this is how it's done. And you can look at me and see how it's done. I believe that with all my heart. That's how Paul was to Timothy. And amen. So, you know, we need to have through the Word of God in our heart and in our mind, through seeing how Paul lived, we need to have an idea of what it is to live out the gospel of Jesus Christ and what that should look like and do it. Because I tell you what, there's a lot of people not doing it, and we want to be the ones that do. Hallelujah. Then, a second point, okay, well, number one, stay focused. Give attention to the things of God. Number two is do not become entangled in the things of this world. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please he who enlisted him as a soldier. And one time I read a book by, and some of y'all may have heard of this man, Rick Renner. And he talked about Roman soldiers. And he was talking about this verse. And he said that that word entangled means that you are entrapped in such a way that you may not get away very easily, if at all. That's what that word entangled means. It's not just I got something wrapped around my arm, but you are so entwined and entangled in something that you may not be able to fight your way clear of it. And he said that the Roman soldiers, that when they were at war, that they didn't camp out in a town or in a city, but that their commanding officer would have them camp out away from the city or town. And the reason was so they did not get caught up in what was going on in the town, and that they could stay focused and stay free from that and do the job that is at hand. And so Paul is telling Timothy here, do not entangle yourself in the things of this life. Now, it is true, we're in this world, but we don't have to be of it. I mean, sure, we're living in this world, but we don't have to become entangled in it in such a way that we cannot get free. And there, the devil has got things out there that can entangle us in such a way that if we get entangled, we may not get free from it. And he knows it. And so I want to encourage you in that. Keep free from the things of this world. And then, number three is to love the truth. It says in, and to tell you the truth, I think this one is really one of the most important ones. Love the truth. Because, you know, if you don't love the truth, you're probably not going to obey it. If you don't love God, you're not going to obey him. You're not going to serve him. And we need to have a love for the things of God in our heart. And it says in 2 Thessalonians, let me get here. Little books are sometimes hard to find right there. 2 Thessalonians, and we'll look in chapter 3 right there. Okay, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And it says here, it says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified. I like that, run swiftly. I mean, just as it is from you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. You know, it's my prayer that the Lord would direct our hearts into the love of God. That should be our prayer, that God would direct our hearts. And, you know, there's so many people, they don't care whether God directs their heart or not. But we want God to direct our hearts. Amen. Then if you look in Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Okay. And this reveals a lot of David's heart right here. It says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. You know, that should be our prayer, that we desire the truth of the Word of God down on the inside of us, in our inward parts. And in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. We need the wisdom of God. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. And then these next few verses, we've all heard these. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Amen. You know, as we do that, as God creates in us a clean heart, as our hearts are committed to Him, and we desire the truth of the Word of God on the inside of us, we will be able to teach transgressors the ways of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And then in John 16:13, the Scripture says that He will send the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us in all truth. You know, we should have a desire in our heart that the Holy Spirit would lead us and to guide us into all truth. Amen. Hallelujah. If you look back with me, and we'll wind up here in 1 Timothy. Just got a few more scriptures here about Paul encouraging Timothy here, and we'll close. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, okay, 1 Timothy chapter 1, and it says, and Timothy again, he's encouraging, Paul is encouraging Timothy to keep the fight the good fight of faith, to stick with it, basically stick with God. Don't depart from Him. Don't depart from the faith. And, you know, you can see just in today's world that there is a falling away and a turning away of the things of God. Although the gospel is going forth and there's, you know, revival and outpourings, but there's still people that, even in the midst of that, that fall away from the things of God. And it says in 1 Timothy 1:18-19, it says, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare." He is telling him, remind yourself of those prophecies that were spoken over you. You need them. You need to encourage yourself with them. Remind yourself of them and make a good warfare. And you know, that is how we do warfare. We remind ourselves of the Word of God. We remind ourselves of, God has encouraged you with the prophetic word. Remind yourself of that word and speak those things over your life and wage a good warfare. Don't let the devil just quieten those things and steal those things from you. Having faith and a good conscience, which some have been rejected, concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck. So he's telling him, do not be like those that suffer shipwreck, that have departed the faith. Hang in there. And then in 2 Timothy 1, verse 13 and 14. It says, hold fast, and I may have read this one, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Hold fast to the Word of God. And then 1 Timothy 4, and this is verse 12 here. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. And Timothy was a young preacher, and it says, let no one despise your youth, but you be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And he says, you be the example to them. You show them how it's done. And even young people, do not let anyone despise your youth. Maybe some of them have gone, but there's still several in here. All of you young people, do not let people despise your youth. Do not let people say, oh, you're just a child, or you're too young, because you're not. You can be an example and do what God has placed in your heart, what He's telling you to say and do. You can do it even as a young child. And then he says, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. You know, as we have this mindset, our progress will be evident to other people. And that's what we want, is to other people to see the Word of God working in our lives, to see the truth of the Word of God in us, to see the love of Jesus in us. And I can say, I'm, you know, there's times where I'm sure people could look at me and say, man, I don't see the love of Jesus in you. I mean, I'm guilty of that. But that's not what we're encouraged here to do. We're encouraged to be an example, and that people will see the progress in our lives. And then it says in verse 16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. And so, as we stay focused on the things of God, as we give attention to the things of God, as we do not let ourselves be entangled in the things of this life, and then as we love the things of God, I'll tell you what, we're not going to only save ourselves, but we will save other people, and they will see the progress in our lives. One last scripture, and it's in Galatians chapter 5. Well, there it is. Galatians chapter 5. And if, look at verse 7. And it says this, it says, and this is one that has meant a lot to me just throughout the course of my life. But it says, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. And I just want to encourage you to keep running well. And when a lie or something comes against you to give up, realize that's not the one that called you. If God has called you to do something and to go down a particular path, God's called us to live out His Word, then He is not going to call us and persuade us to not do that. That kind of persuasion comes from the devil. And Paul's saying here, run well and keep on doing it. And the one that is trying to hinder you from obeying truth, that's not the one that's called you. That's somebody else. And don't believe the lie that it is the one that's called you. stay the course and keep with the things of God. Hallelujah. I just want to pray. I will close in prayer here. And hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. I'm just going to close in prayer. And just as I pray, you know, just make this your prayer that you would love the truth, that you would desire the things of God on the inside of you in such a way that the things of this world would not overtake it, and that would be the strongest thing in your life, the strongest thing in your heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Father, we just thank you this morning. Father, we thank you that you have called us to live out the Word of God, that you have called us to live the life of faith, Lord God, to fight the good fight of faith. And Father God, I just pray this morning over just even each and every person in this room, and including myself, Lord God, that we would have a greater love for you and for your word and for the things of God than for the things of this world. Father God, I just my prayer is that we would desire the things of God, the truth of your love, the truth of your word in our innermost part, in our innermost being, Lord God. Father, it is my prayer that we would give attention to you, that we would give more attention to you than to the things of this world, Lord God. And I just thank you for that, Father God. Father, I thank you that may we be a people that are not easily deceived and swept away, Lord God. May we be a people that stay the course and keep serving you and keep holding to the truth of your word. And I just thank you for that. I thank you for that. Father God, I just pray that if there's any of us that are deceived in such a way that we have been following a lie, Father, I ask for those blinders to be removed right now and eyes opened up, and that the lies of the devil would be exposed, deception would be exposed, and they would see it for what it is and cast it down and be able to turn away from it and walk in the truth, Lord God. I thank you for that, Father God. Father, we just thank you for that. Father, we just thank you for that you are a good God, that you love us and you care about us. We thank you for your mercy, Lord God, and your loving kindness. And Father, right now, as each and every person, as we go leave this place and we go about our day, we go about our week, Father God, I just speak a blessing on each and every person, that they may be blessed, Lord God, that they'll be blessed at what they put their hand to. Father, I say that in Jesus' name, that they are the head and not the tail. Father, I say in Jesus' name, they're above and not beneath. Father, I thank you that they go forth walking in the victory of your word this week, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, that they live out your word and they're an example to other people, and that in doing so we save not only ourselves but we see other people saved, Lord God, and that others would be compelled to come to know the salvation knowledge of Jesus Christ just by being around us, Lord God. And we thank you for that, Father God, in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.